peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Reformation Sunday will be taken from the Gospel of John. And we're going to read from John chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 44 through 50. And I hate to make you stand again, but I'm going to ask if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of a Gospel text. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. And I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judge him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment in what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is everlasting life. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. Father, we definitely do remember this day, as Brother Mark has even said, that 501 years ago you allowed one to stand strong, but he was not the only one, there's no doubt about it. But yet, Father, it is the most remembered. We pray that you would sanctify us in the truth, because even as this is written today, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The Reformation, it's a very powerful time, an extremely powerful time. Really, it is a single event on a single day that changed the world. God allowed this to take place, there's no doubt about it. Now, we often and we understand that we claim the Reformation as a Lutheran day, which is fine. But the fact of it is, a lot of sect. S-E-C-T. Oh, a great respect for the Reformation. That we would turn around and understand that we had now this break, if you could say it. Not to break away from the Word of God, but actually a point where the Word of God became more important than anything else. Luther was moved really by great emotion and integrity when he started to see what was taking place in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, this is not to pick on the Roman Catholic Church in this day and age, but we can't ignore the facts. Under Leo X, things started to get really goofed up. They were starting to appoint people that did not have the reason to be appointed. They didn't even qualify under the law of the church to be qualified, because they were young, ambitious individuals that could actually raise some money for the church. See, the church was in trouble. The church, honestly, was building things that they could not afford. And when they started building things that they could not afford, they started to find out that really we needed to make some money. And when there was young, open-minded individuals that could take and promote selling indulgences that were beyond anyone else's understanding to raise funds, Luther had a problem. When they would now, even because of All Saints Day, they would start bringing in these old relics, and people would genuflect in front of them, believing that in all honesty they were going to gain many years out of purgatory by doing this. Luther had a problem. When they started to sell the indulgence of Jubilee, and this is all in history, I'm not speaking negative about a certain group on the aspect of my own thoughts, you can look it up. When they started to sell the indulgence of Jubilee, that it would spring a soul from purgatory, that it would forgive sins past, present, and future, that was a problem. Luther was not trying to break away from the church. That was not his intention. Luther thought that he saw a great inconsistency, and he believed that if he had reported this to the Pope, that he would hear him, and that they could discuss these things. He was wrong. St. Peter's Cathedral was extremely expensive, and we had to cover the cost. The ends justifies the means. May we never think that we're far above that. In our humanness, we often have this tendency to do these sort of things. When we turn around and we can see the world is full of this kind of stuff, when we turn around and we think that we can move forward and do certain things within the church to gain more people, to gain more money, to gain whatever it may be, we can lose sight of the most important thing. The gospel. The gospel. Reformation is really the most important thing of it, of the 95 Theses. See, and we even turn around and we forget that. If someone was to come here today and they had an issue with the church and they took out their DeWalt screw gun, because we have metal doors, and they took a metal screw and they screwed their ideas to our church door, we'd be offended. That was not an offense in Luther's time. The church door was like a bulletin board. And when there was big events and big things happening, or there was discussions, theological debates, whatever needed to be done, they would often post them right on the door. And that's what Luther was doing. He was coming across in this way of saying, these are very 95 things that I would like to discuss that are very applicable to our day and age. He wasn't being a rebel as far as trying to insult the church. We would be insulted in this day and age, but nobody would be really offended if we took in the bulletin board in the back of the church and we stuck something on there. So don't think he was trying to break away. He wasn't. He preached in reality until they showed him the door. Of the 95 Theses, one of the most beautiful ones is really the church's true treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the treasure. And that's what he was really trying to bring to the forefront. It's not for sale. It's not by a certain way that we ascribe to something as far as human understanding. See, we can think we're so removed, but yet even in our own history, we have a struggle with this. Because we've had many teachings that will say, well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is only received by a certain fashion. And we're just as wrong. Luther felt a deep concern. He felt a very strong pain to bring instruction and correction and discussion to the body. But do we always listen? We can get so caught up in our tradition that sometimes we forget the importance of the message. And we can even forget the importance of the people that we stand before, that we stand among, and that we work with within the body. I'm just as guilty. So now we come across and we look at this text today. Jesus turns around and he cries out. Remember now, he had done many great works. Mark read that to us. He had done great, powerful things, and people still did not believe. And so then Jesus cries out and he says, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but also him who sent me. In other words, he's saying this is inclusive. It goes hand in hand. To believe and to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, to believe and trust in his words, is to believe in reality in God the Father, in his proclamation, in his gift, his deliverance. To us. So amazing. He says, whoever sees me, sees him who has sent me. Even Father in this book, after Jesus speaks these words in like chapter 14, Philip comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, show us the Father. Just show us the Father and that will make us content, suffice us. That will please us. And Jesus turns around and he says, have I been so long with you, and yet you don't know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And see, this is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is directly the love of God to us. It is very much the essence of who God is. That God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's not just a banner. That is the essence of Reformation. It's not about politics. It's not about religion of men. It's not about our standards. It's not about our traditions. It is about the understanding of God desired for us to be saved so greatly that He took our place upon that cross. There is not a more beautiful message that you could preach. That reality, whatever your name may be, it may be Sue, it may be Bill, it may be Jesse, it may be Rutabaga. I don't know. But speaking in reality, God says, I love you. And I will show you this love by pouring myself out as an offering in your behalf that you would not have to pay this debt. I love you so much that I will call for you to see who I am and give you the grace and the ability to believe in this grace. Jesus says very plainly to His followers, if you have seen the Father, or if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and Him are one. He says that in the priestly prayer. We have this standard taught to us by history. We have this standard taught to us that there's degrees. And I'll give you an example. We turn around and we see that people will pray, in essence, to Mary. Luther was not ignorant of this. And they believed that Mary, being the mother of Jesus, that she would be more compassionate towards us. And that now praying to Mary, she would now go, like you see at the wedding feast, she would go to Jesus and ask the request to Jesus, and then Jesus would go to God the Father. We have that kind of standard built into our thought system sometimes. Maybe we don't. I don't know. But we look at things as a softer. But now, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, if we are to understand it, that the veil of the temple was rent in two, that it was torn asunder, that now the holiest of holies is no longer hidden, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can boldly enter into the throne room of God and make our requests known. Simplified. Perfect. Jesus says very plainly in our text today, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Do we know the love of God as we see in the love of Christ? Do we know that it's not about politics or standards, but it's about what God has done for us and in us? He says, I've come into the world as a light. Is that not what the beginning of this gospel opens with? He says, I've come into this world as a light. We can understand this very plainly. When we go into a dark room, there's hardly a time that we don't turn the light on. Now, granted, sometimes we get up in the middle of the night and take care of issues because we're getting older. At least I do. But I still have to have a little light on so that I can see. But we understand that, even that little light can actually bring so much light into the room that we have the ability to navigate ourselves through. And Jesus says, I am coming into this dark world. He says, and I come in as this great light. He says, so that whoever believes in me shall see. Will not remain in darkness. Oftentimes, I think as pastors and stuff, it's difficult to lay out, say, a gospel message for people because we fight something that's not really seen. And I'm not trying to bring disrespect, but we fight tradition. We fight false guilts. We fight so many things that we cannot see. And Jesus says very plainly, I am light. I enter into your dark life. I enter into this dark world bring light, that you might be able to have the ability to see. Now, even if we don't look at this globally, if we look at this personally in our own lives, and we say that so many times, Jesse, I'm so oppressed by the fog of my failures, of my struggles, of not living up to the expectation that's been dictated to me at times. That Christ comes in as a light to reveal to me I am God's child. By grace through faith. This is not something that can be sold. It's not something that can be earned by merit. It is a free gift. I don't know what the fog in your life is. But I know this. Jesus comes to remove it. That He offers His unmerited favor, that we would stand in the blessings of God and to understand no matter what we may fail at, what we may think we failed at, that He overlooks those things. But yet calls us to know Him, to have that blessedness of a light in our life, to see to the heart of the matter. He says very much that this is the essence of the gospel. It is the essence of Reformation. That Christ has come into the world as a light. That those that would believe will not remain in darkness. And he says, if anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them. See, this to me is something that's very interesting. We would expect judgment, wouldn't we? Because that's what we've been taught a lot of times in our lives. We've been taught a false doctrine that God's waiting to get us. I woke up this morning thinking about that because I don't know about you. But I was having one of those mornings where that fog was there. Where I woke up thinking about some of the failures that I've had in my life. Some of the difficulties that's gone on. And I would have a tendency to bring myself into judgment if I could say that. But then God revealed to me, because of a book I've probably been reading, about His immeasurable grace. He allowed, even in that dark time, for a moment in my life, that light would pour in, and Jesus in reality would reveal to me of His grace and of His mercy. The Scripture talks about something that's so amazing that sometimes I think we can have a tendency to forget it. Immeasurable grace. It says in the Gospel of John that He came to give grace upon grace. That means immeasurable. In this book that I'm reading, it talks about the fact of how oftentimes we think we can use it up. He says, but yet if we were to enter into the oceans of the world and take a glass of water out, did we deplete the ocean? If we were to enter into the great national forest and take a pine needle out, did we deplete the forest? If we were to enter into the beach scene and take, a scoopful or a grain of sand, did we deplete that? Have you ever considered the light of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ through all the darkness that His immeasurable grace is poured out to you? He says very plainly. He says, the one that rejects me and does not receive me. Remember, I said this is kind of a twist because we'd look for judgment. He says, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has... He says, I do not judge him. I was skipping ahead. I don't judge him. And I had gone to that point of saying, basically, we're waiting for God to get us. And that's what I get back to my train of thought. I woke up this morning thinking, if God wanted to get me for that, He could have done me a long time ago. And He hasn't. If we could put it in a very blunt term, wanted to smush me like a bug, He could have done it a long time ago. But He didn't. So the question is, why not? Because God so loves us that He would rather for restoration. And He gives us the remedy for our fallenness. Jesus says, if I come and I preach and I speak and someone doesn't receive my words, I don't judge them. He really is coming out in this fashion of saying, that's not my purpose. And sometimes in my humanness, it seems like that's the purpose. That we would speak something to somebody. If they don't receive it, then we want to judge them. But that word is a seed. We lose sight of that sometimes. And sometimes Jesse is quite impatient. Because we all know if we plant a seed, it doesn't spring up instantly. And that's one of the things that they teach you in school and grade school and stuff. They start these little gardens maybe in little cups and things so that we can learn that, you know, first we have to plant the seed and then it has to have germination and then it has to start sprouting forth and then it comes up taller and taller and then eventually it will bear some fruit. But it takes time. It takes time. But Jesus says, that wasn't my purpose. He says, if you don't receive my words, if they don't receive my words, he says, I don't judge them. He says, why? I didn't come into the world to judge the world. Is that the God that we often see represented? He says, I came into the world for salvation. I think it's amazing, even when we've been studying in Bible studies and stuff, how much the Scripture opens up that salvation is God's. It is His. To dispense, to give. He says, I didn't come into the world to judge the world. He says, to save the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him may have eternal life. There's a qualifier. The grace has been given. God loved the world. He gave His only Son. Objectively, He pours His grace out upon this earth. And we are called to do the same. But would that word, is there the fruit? Does it take root? He says very plainly, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words does have a judge. And I think that's amazing. Jesus says, now I want you to understand, I'm not here to judge. I have a sole purpose, to meet the will of my Father, to do my Father's desire, and that is to bring salvation. And I will pay for that, is what Jesus is saying. I'll take care of that part. I am coming in obedience. I will obediently go to the cross. I will willingly lay down my life. I will pay the redemption of the world. But will they receive? The one who rejects me and does not receive my words does have a judge. And this is what I think is so beautiful. It's the word He speaks. It's the very word that He speaks. He says, the word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Do we stand in the promises of God? Do we stand in the confirmation of Jesus Christ? Do we stand in what He has dictated to us? Or do we stand on our own thinking, in our own logic, in our own words? Where are we? He says, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. John 15:3, he gives a little more clarity of the power of His word. The power of His word. He says very plainly, you are clean or cleansed through the word that I speak to you. There is life in that word of God. There's no differentiating between God the Father and God the Son here. It is that same powerful word that brings life. And that's in reality what the truth is of this Reformation. The church's true treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would be changed by the power of that gospel. That it would impact us. That it would conform us to the image of His Son. We say very plainly, well then how do we receive this faith? One of the greatest ways the Scripture brings it out is faith cometh by hearing. And hearing of the Word of God. Do we not read that in Romans? Are we bringing forth the Word of God? If we've been blessed enough to be here today because somewhere in our life God has allowed that Word to take root, and to spring forth a beautiful plant, if you could say it in that way, then are we also putting out that fruit of the Word of God? Reformation is about making things clear. Reformation is really a great proclamation that you could strongly bring into the understanding of John the Baptizer, who made the playing field level. The Scripture says He made the mountains low and He made the valleys high, that all would in reality have access to God the Father. It wasn't by whose boy you are, it's not by position, it's not by any of these other things. It is by knowing Him through His Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing it to take root and bring forth fruit. He says, the one that doesn't receive me as a judge, the very words that I speak will hold him accountable in that last day. He says, and I have not spoken anything on my own authority. In other words, in his fleshliness is really what he's speaking about here. Because remember, Jesus, fully God, but yet fully human, emptied himself, the Scripture says, allowing that he would empty himself of his Godhead, being solely submitted to God's will. He says, I haven't spoken in my own authority. This is not negative. He's saying, this is what God shares. Show us the Father. The Father says that He will give eternal life to all who believe. The Father says that faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing of His Word. The Father says that we are His children by grace through faith. It's not about politics. It's not about systems of men. He says, I haven't spoken of my own authority, but by the Father who sent me, has Himself given me a commandment of what I should speak. And Jesus Christ speaks life. He speaks life, and the next verse brings that fully in our face. He says, what I should speak, and I know His commandment is eternal life. Not just temporary life. Not a life of fog and guilt, but a life full of light and hope and prosperity. God loves us. If we could take anything away from the Reformation, may it be that God loves us. In spite of who I am, He loves me. In spite of who you may think you are, God loves you. He desired restoration for you, and He paid the penalty of your sin debt. It's not about traditions. Some are beautiful. Some are goofy. It's not about what system we can follow. God allowed 501 years ago for a moment in time to be called forth that the church's truest jewel, truest gift, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you. He paid for you. He forgives you. And He calls for us to bear that fruit. Yes, we come to church. Yes, we come to encourage one another to receive fulfillment as far as understanding the Word of God more perfectly. Not by my hands. Trust me, you could find a lot better preacher. But for now, this is what you got. But may we hand it over to the Lord and ask Him to take this word and allow it to work in our lives. That we could not only be encouraged ourselves and encourage our families, but we can enter into a world, into a community that is hurting. Encourage them also. We have plenty of religion. We look at Pharisees sometimes, and we think, oh my goodness, they were all religious. We got a church on every street corner. We have plenty of religion. But do we call forth the Spirit of God and ask Him by His power and His might to give us the ability to live in His peace and to bring His peace to the world around us? That's what they need. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge them. I came to save. We are the ambassadors of Christ. May his word do the work every day. He says, I know the commandment he has given me is about eternal life. And what I say, therefore, on account of this, I say as the Father has told me. You want to know God? Here he is. He loves you. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.